I want to thank everybody for coming. I know it's a weeknight, Monday night. This is an amazing crowd for middle of the week, school night. Now, you guys, some of you guys actually have school. I want to thank my daughter, Vasya Grossman, for initiating this event, which is really, really exciting. And because of her, we started with one shiur, we're going to end up with two shiur. And of course, I just want to introduce, I'm not going to introduce Rabbi Cohen, I'm not even going to stay for this year, just so he could say, you know, whatever he needs to say without me making fun. No, we're old friends from Five Towns, Baruch Hashem. But I said at the Shabbat Brokers recently, I believe Serena Harsin was there, so, but I think it connects to introducing the introducer, and that is Parshas Shmos a couple weeks ago. Again, we had this chuzah being at the Shabbat Brokers of our friend the Feldmans, and I said that, you know, it's a common question, obviously for other people, not for me. My wife is here, so how do people keep a wedding? The excitement of a wedding and of a relationship. You know, it's so exciting at the beginning. You have the passion, you have the fire. How do you keep it forever? It's a little bit, obviously difficult. You know, things are new, they're exciting, and then sometimes they can fizzle away. So I think the Parsha in Shmos tells us exactly how do you keep how do you keep the fire? How do you keep the passion in anything? And I think that's, the Pasuk says, V'nes neb bo'er v'esh v'asen enu kal. The fire was going, the passion was there. Moshe saw this burning bush, and yet the fire wasn't getting extinguished. It was just staying. Normally, by natural means, it should have gone out. So I thought the pshat is, it says earlier, and Rabbi Cohen got me a chumash over here, but it says, you want to know the trick, the secret, how to keep the passion going, how to keep the fire, how to keep it going is make sure you make your house a holy place wherever you are, but place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the Shekhinah is, that will continue, that will help you keep the relationship or the house of Amakum of where the fire does not get extinguished. And obviously this is not a Shara Brachos. But I think what we've seen the last couple of months is a beautiful neshama. Binyamin Erli was a wonderful boy. I actually knew him myself. We saw him around shul, obviously, around the neighborhood. A lot of energy. And he was killed in the war, as everyone knows. And just the inspiration that the Erlis have given us since then. And, it wasn't a week. It wasn't the week of Shiva. It wasn't the shloshim. We had a shloshim here, which is beautiful. But Jen's goal and everyone's goal, obviously, is to keep that fire, the passion for Torah, the passion for Emunah, forward, going forward and staying forever. How do you do that? The only way to do that is to make Hamakom Asher Ata Omer Alav Admas Kodeshu, to make it a holy place, to make everything you do, wherever you are, continue to keep that fire of Binyamin, not just in the Erli's heart, in all of our hearts, and of course, all the Kedoshim that are giving up their lives, if we continue to commemorate them and do things in their memory, connected to Torah, connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connected to bringing the Shekhinah into our lives. Of course, that is the way how we continue this amazing feeling of Emunah and passion towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Erlis have given us over the last couple of months. And my daughter could confirm, but I know from speaking to many people, Rav Aryeh Cohen is one of those people that instills Emunah in people and lets people bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu into their lives. So I'm not going to do the official introduction, but I just want to thank you for coming. I really appreciate it. Just, short vacation, came to visit us and to give a shiur late at night. And without further ado, I'm going to ask Mrs. Jen Erli to introduce Rabbi Cohen, who she knows from many years back in Cedars. I had the chus of seeing them at the Shiva Kol even. They were here, paid a Shiva Kol here in Mabe Shemesh, again, despite living in Cedars. So I know they have a close, long-term family relationship, and I wouldn't do justice to the introduction, so I'm going to let Jen take it from here.
I know you were. You're giving a pile of hair every day. Like, what am I supposed to do?
I'm a little caught off guard, to be honest. I didn't know I was doing this. I don't know.
Love of my life.
I can just start it.
Sorry, I'm not the usual Jen self, and the reason I was running late is Binyamin's friends from Army just came over to visit, and they're actually still at my house. Not that I need to be there. I think it's they need time there in the house. And the stories that they're sharing with us are nothing we haven't known already, but they're just proving it over and over, of Binyamin being that David HaMelech. And how he was the beautiful balance of... Sorry, I know this wasn't meant to be this. I'm just the balance of the fighter and the Torah learner. And he just... and everything the guys are telling me is just all these hilarious and amazing stories are all the same. They all come down to that same piece where he would be the big booster and get everybody going and no fear, and also be that gentle soul to make sure that everybody had whatever they needed, and how the vegetarian soldier had his trina that nobody was allowed to touch. And he made sure everybody had exactly what they needed in the toughest and then the most gentle way. And I think that anybody who teaches Torah is really that. You're firm in your words, you know what you believe, and you're also sensitive to hear exactly what the private people also need. And personally for me, Rav Arye Cohen has really been that, as a listening ear whenever needed, and listen to Jen's, you know, babbling, and then the sharing of the Torah's powerful words as well. And thank you for being that. And it sounds perfect.
Okay, it's a very, very special schluss to be here. Paiskim b'chli chsan, I want to thank the Grossmans. I want to thank Basia and her family, Seth. Seth is, as he said, an old friend. Played a lot of basketball together. I don't think we've learned that much Torah together back in the day. But at least now I'm learning with his daughter. And it should be a schluss of only simcha and bracha for your beautiful family, Meretz Hashem. To Jen and Rob, you know, Emes is, I don't know, so you know I'm there for you, but I haven't told you enough how much hashpa you've had on my life and my family's life. You and Rob and Binyamin Meir and Zev David, Chosu Yagin Aleinu, his life that he continues to live within each and every one of us, and all the lessons you've shared with us and Rob shared with us, and you'll continue to inspire us in incredible ways. And to be able to be in this makom, to be here, I've given many, many shiurim already, Lil Nishmas Binyamin, in Chutzlart, and I think is equally important, because what Binyamin stood for and who Binyamin was needs to be heard by all, and we all can learn from him. And not just learn from him, also to learn from Jen and Rob. We were discussing last week, you know, Jen plans on being in, hopefully we'll be Zochar Mashiach, and that will never happen. But if we're not Zochar Mashiach, coming to Chutz Laretz to bring us Chizik for a week. It's less than a week, don't worry, I think, actually. When we were discussing it, I said, not only do we need to hear my own Talmidim and all those that are still in Chutz Laretz, and hopefully very soon they'll all be here, need to hear about Binyamin and all the inspiration he has to give, but also equally important to see people like Jan and Rab who understand what true deep Amuna is through the most difficult of times and continue to be an inspiration to us all in incredible ways. So I'm really in awe to be able to give the Over Torah. I was honored when Basi reached out and to really do this Lil Nishmas, Binyamin Meir, Ben Zev David, is something very, very special. And I don't take it lightly. Actually wrote up this entire shir at the Kaisel last night. I said, if I'm going to give this shir in Eretz Yisrael, steps from his bias, and this makom kadosh, so I'm going to write it up. At most of my shirim, I mean, I don't write up shirim, I just write bullets, but most of them are typed on a laptop. I don't have my laptop here. I wasn't going to just give a shir that was. I'm sat at the Kaisel about 1 o'clock last night, and this is what came, so it was written in a very holy place as well. And just to share Torah, you know, Jen has told me over over the last couple months, time and time again, HaTorah has been and always has been her lifeline. And we connect on that way in a very special way. Often people ask me, you know, how do we build emunah? Where does emunah come from? Because you can't wait for the difficulties to happen to find emunah. Then unfortunately it could be too late and you're broken in ways that are very difficult to get out of. So how do we really truly build emunah? How do we really truly have deep internal emunah that will pave our path through life, that will guide us through life, that will be that light? And there are many different ways, it's not just one. There's no questions opening up our eyes to the stories of our life. And every one of us constantly has stories of our life. We just sometimes, our eyes are a little bit closed. If we open them a little bit wider, we'd see HaKadosh Baruch Hu every moment by our side, every moment guiding us, orchestrating everything that's going on. There's no question that builds emunah in a very real way. Looking around the world the way Avram Avinu did. But there's no question in my own life, and Jen's told me many times in her life, Torah, the authenticity of Torah, the beauty of Torah, the Ein Sof of Torah, the Chochma Elokis, the wisdom of God. You learn Torah, and the beauty of Torah builds a very deep connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Baal Tanya in Perek Dalet says, every time we learn Torah, and we're zolcha to learn Torah, Leilam Shabbat Bin Yamin right now, we're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu a hug. That's what the Baal Tanya says. To hug someone means to get close to them, to build a relationship with them, to show love, to build a connection. So this chus to learn Torah, Leilam Shabbat Bin Yamin, hopefully will give us chizak, each and every one of us, and continue to build that kesher with Hashem. I happened to be this past Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, I was with the chevra of Talmidim and Yidid Nafshi, Reb Shmuel Herman, my son. We went around in different makomos, very special places. We were by the Nova Festival. We actually started a Sefer Torah that's going to be written there. Lilin Hishmash, all the Kedoshim, over these past few months. Every letter is going to be written right there in that makom. Something very, very special. It's Chaim Hilmachaz Yigimba. Only Klal Yisrael understands what it is to persevere, what it is to continue. And so as I heard bombing going off, you literally, you're right there. You hear our Kaddishdik soldiers protecting us. You hear them destroying our enemies. We're physically, we're spiritually writing a Torah to persevere and to preserve the future of Ruchnis. It's incredible what's going on. So when I was there, I met a Yid, Yonatan Cohen. Yonatan, I called him already Yonatan Hanes. Because Yonatan told me, let me just give you a picture about Yonatan. Yonatan, you look at his face, he has over under about 15 piercings. Tattoos, oh look. And Yonatan was there at the Nova Festival on October 7th. And Yonatan told me how for 9 hours he hid. He hid in borot, he hid in ditches, he hid behind bushes, he hid behind cars, he hid under cars. And he was saved. I said, Yonatan Hanes. I looked at him. And I said, could you share with me a lesson that you take away from this? That Hashem decided to save you and you went. He told me he saw a terrorist look him in the face and just decide not to shoot him and shot other people. We can imagine. So I said, Yonatan, tell me, do you have a lesson? Do you have a mussar? Do you have something I can take away? I have this on video. He looked at me. I think I already told him that I was a Rav from America. He looked at me. He says, Atalomei Torah. He says, you learn Torah. I said, Ken, Ze maspik. Ze hakol. This guy, this Yonatan, fully pierced face, like you've never seen anyone like this, tattoos and Atalomei Torah, Ze maspik. That's it, that's all we have to do. We learn Torah, we'll have it all. Incredible. So let's learn. You know, we're just a few days away from Tu B'Shvat. We're just a few days away from Tu B'Shvat. And Tu B'Shvat is a very mysterious holiday, very mysterious Yontif. Maybe the most mysterious. That was the other two, you know, Tu B'Av, Tu B'Shvat, all the twos. What really is going on? So we don't say Tachnun on that day. We have minhagim, we have all these customs to eat fruits, to eat dried fruits, a Tu B'Shvat Seder, a lot of customs. But what's it really all about? That we're really celebrating Rosh Hashanah for the trees?
Like, it seems to, like, we're trying to make, you know, we make something out of a day. Is it really a real yontiv? Is it not a real yontiv? We're unsure. It's definitely, seemingly, it doesn't seem to be up there with, like, the Shalosh Regalim or Shanim Kippur, Purim, Chanukah. And then you have, like, Tu B'Shvat, along with, you know, Lag BaOmer and other days. So, let's read a Mishnah. Let's read a Mishnah. It's the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. It tells us Arba Rosh Hashanah Meim. There are four Rosh Hashanim. And the Mishnah tells us actually there's a Machlokas. The Mishnah says Be'echad Bishvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. Kid Divrei Beis Shammai. Be'echad Bishvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. Kid Divrei Beis Shammai. The first of Shvat. Is there a shana for trees? Very interesting language. If you've learned any Mishnayos, kid divrei beis shammai. Not divrei. It should generally say, these are the words of beis shammai. Here it says, kid divrei beis shammai. Like the words of beis shammai. Beis Hillel omrim. Beis Hillel says, b'chamish asar bo. Beis Hillel says, no. And we paskin like Beis Hillel. That the Rosh Hashanah for trees is not Rosh Chodesh, a little over a week ago, but this Thursday, Wednesday night, the 15th day of Shvat. So first of all, why is it Kedivrei Beis Shammai? And if you paid attention to the Lashon, it's also very strange. Be'echad Bishvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. I know one of the difficult parts of making Aliyah, although well worth it, I'm nothing, katonti. Halavai, I should be like each and every one of you, and be here soon, Bez Hashem. But it's difficult to get used to the language and really fall in, and you feel like an outsider sometimes, and specifically the diktuk is hard, but one of the areas of diktuk we're familiar with is just the difference between Lashon Yachid and Lashon Rabim, something that's in singular tense or plural tense. Shouldn't it be Be'echa Bishvat Rosh Hashanah Lila Nos? Rosh Hashanah for what? For trees? What? Le'ilan, for one tree. What one tree? There's only one tree? Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan? The tenth seems weird, seems wrong. So we're going to have to understand both of these. So many explain an idea I want to delve into a little bit deeper. Maybe some of you have learned before about Tu B'Shvat. To understand the depth of Tu B'Shvat and come back to understand this Mishnah. Tu B'Shvat is actually a very incredible yontif. And a very important yontif. And specifically, keeping in mind the pasuk that tells us, I don't know how many of you have been zoche, to maybe have the minog to have a chalaka, upsharon for a child or for a sibling, where we have this minog to wait 3 years until we get a haircut. Not everybody has the minog. One of the reasons behind it is because there's a pasuk that says, V'adam eitz asadeh, that each and every one of us is compared to a tree. Ilan, ilan, bama, avarakka. Each and every one of us is compared to a tree. V'adametzah, it's just like a tree for the first 3 years. There's a halakha of arla. You're not allowed to eat the fruits. You have to let them, you're not allowed to harvest. You're not allowed to cut the tree. You leave it. So too, we leave a child to let his hair free for 3 years and then we can cut the hair. But we see from there, v'adametzah, where each and every one of us is somehow compared to a tree. So in that light, if this is the Rosh Hashanah for trees, or we'll get back to the Lashon of Le'ilan, it might be a very powerful day. A very important day for each and every one of us. Because maybe it's talking to us. We can't wait just for one Rosh Hashanah a year. Tishrei. Here we are in the middle of the year. We need another reminder, another chizuk. And what is that day? Think about it. You know, we have this day, it's the New Year for trees. We have a beautiful bracha that we make when the trees are blossoming. We make a bracha on trees, fruit trees and blossom, right? A bracha one time a year. You all know, right? When do we make that bracha? What month? Nisan. We don't make it now. We make it in Nisan. That's when the trees are blossoming. Nisan is Aviv, is the springtime. That's the whole reason we have an Ibrashana. whole reason we have a second Adar is to make sure that Pesach is always in the spring. So the trees blossom, springtime. Yet now, we're saying it's the Rosh Hashanah for the trees, Tu B'Shvat, or even earlier, the Rosh Chodesh Shvat. What's going on? We don't see the trees blossoming yet. The flowers are not occurring. The trees are still completely bare. Why is now the Rosh Hashanah? This is a very deep lesson. Maybe the most important lesson of our lives. And that is, just because on the outside we don't see something, doesn't mean there's so much hidden beneath the surface. There's so much hidden. What is happening right now, starting right now? Starting right now, and every one of those fruit trees that will blossom in Nisan, they don't just out of nowhere suddenly blossom. Many of you know this more than I. When you're zoicha to have children, you don't just suddenly snap your fingers and child. You had to have 9 months of a pregnancy and preparation. And a tree as well. A tree as well. Before the flowers start to blossom, before that occurs, there's things happening within the deep roots of that tree, within the veins of the tree, within the bark, with inside, that we don't see, that we're not privy to see. The sap is rising up to prepare the tree to eventually blossom and be beautiful flowers and beautiful fruits that we're going to enjoy. But it's not a lesson in the tree, it's a lesson in life. It's a lesson to understand, each and every one of us, we need to know that just because we sometimes are only privy to the exterior, to see what's going on the outside, we don't have the full picture. There's so much more behind the curtain. There's so much more there. There's so much more depth. And we have to remember that. That's Tu B'Shvat. That's the lesson of Tu B'Shvat, which is the biggest chizuk in Amunah. Amunah doesn't mean it's clear. I don't need Amunah when it's clear. I don't need Amunah when it's clear. I need Amunah to believe this bottle of water is water. Is anyone in the world that deny that? Maybe American media, they don't understand something like that. You know, they could turn this, and if a Yid would say this is water, suddenly they'll say it isn't. But anyone else in the world, pretty much, understand this is water. I don't need a Muna for that. I need a Muna to have eyes to see beyond. I need a Muna to be able to see beyond the surface. And that's Tu B'Shvat. That same Yonatan HaNes, that same Yonatan that looked at me and said, "Atol lomei Torah, ze maspik." He actually continued after that. And he said to me, "Gam kein tzarich liya ish tov." You have to be a good person. He said, "Also, you have to be a good person." Those should always go together, but unfortunately don't always, and that's another conversation for another time. To have midos, just be a good, caring person. And then he said, and then he ended, and most important is to have bitachon. And he looked at me and said, "Don't think I just have bitachon now that Hashem saved me. I had it the whole time. And all those 9 hours when I was hiding, I knew I was going to be saved." This is what he told me. He said, "Terrorists were looking at me, and didn't shoot, I knew I was going to be saved. I had bitachon the entire time." That's what he told me, Yonatan Anes. Those are different types of eyes. Those are eyes that don't just see what's in front of you. They know there's so much more depth. That even though I can't explain what's there, I know it's there. This is also the Amunah that I've been inspired by Jan and Rab in the most amazing ways. In the most amazing ways. I'll never forget one text you sent to me. It was a few weeks after Kadosh Baruch Hu took Binyamin. And you said to me, there was a line, and I've repeated it many times since, to many people, many shiurim. You said, "I'm totally broken and totally whole." I'm totally broken and totally whole. Amunah doesn't mean we're not sad. Amunah doesn't mean we don't miss somebody. And therefore, we could be totally broken. But Amunah means I'm simultaneously totally whole. And that means my brokenness is not depression. it's sadness. It's a very big difference. It means I'm totally whole, because as much as I'm sad and I miss someone I love deeply, I know there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. I know he's orchestrating it all. I know that Binyamin's life had more meaning than most people who live five times as long. I understand that all. I understand that the bigger picture of that. I know I don't understand. I can't tell you exactly why. I don't see beneath, but I know there's beneath. And knowing that is enough. That emunah could get us through anything in life. Because I'm with Hashem. When I'm with Hashem, it's a different life. It's a different life. You know, there's a famous line. Nobody knows exactly the source of this line, but it's brought down in many svarim. It's from the Kadmonim. Ein simcha kataros sveikos. You've all heard that line before, right? Ein simcha kataros sveikos. And I'm going to share with you what I think 99.9% of the people, how they understand that line. How I've always understood that line until this time in the history of the world. How does everyone, you're all thinking about what that line is. And the way that we generally understand the line, tell me if you have another pshat, is there's no greater simcha than doing away with doubt. Ein simcha katarat tzvekot. There's no greater simcha than doing away with doubt. In fact, as Rav Gedalia Shor brings down that line in our Gedaliah to explain what it is when you have a shidduch, the celebration of the shidduch. You're not married. Halachically, nothing's changed yet. What are we celebrating? Your whole life, you had a suffix. Who that's going to be? Ein simcha katarat tzvekot. No greater simcha than doing away with that doubt. Right? That's how we all understand that. Doubt brings sadness. Doubt brings depression. Doubt brings difficulty. Ein simcha kataras sveikos, doing away with doubt. Anyone understand that differently? You don't have to be shy. That's how I always understood it until literally these past few months. But then I was thinking about that deeper. And I think if we translate that line in such a way, it's actually a recipe for depression. And it's the antithesis of emunah. It means I could only be happy if I clarify every situation in this world, and if I understand everything. And I'm not allowed to live in doubt. I can't live with questions. And I can't be happy if I have questions. But I have tons of questions. I know that Binyamin's life was more meaningful than most people who grace this earth. And I know that he lived for so much, along with so many of the chayalim. But I still have questions. I have questions when I was with, this past Thursday, the family of Almog Sarusi, who's been a hostage in Gaza from the Nova Festival since October 7th. And was with his mother and his father, and his two brothers and his sister. I have big questions. So I have to answer to be besimcha. Who doesn't have questions? But ain't simcha, there's no greater simcha, katara sveikos, doing away doubts or questions. So I believe there's another way to learn that line. And I believe this Torah was worth coming all the way. I don't mean just to Beit Shemesh then. I mean to Eretz Yisrael to share with you. I haven't been stopped living this Torah since Kadosh Baruch Hu brought me this Torah. Because I think it's life-altering to live life in such a way and to understand what deep emunah is. Hatara could mean, like, Hatarat Nedarim. That's how most people, right? So, Ein Simcha Katarat Tzveikos, doing away with, annulling. That's how we generally have learned that line. But Hatara also could mean something else. Where do we find a very similar word? Mutar. What's mutar mean? It's mutar, it's allowed, it's permissible. You know what I think really whoever wrote that line meant to say? Ain simcha, there's no greater simcha, katarat tzvekos, than permitting yourself to have tzvekos. Than allowing yourself to be in a state of doubt. Allowing yourself to have questions. How does one allow themselves to have questions? Questions are stifling. Questions create myself to just want to go into a ball and go into a corner and cry. I have questions I don't understand. when one has true amunah. When one has true amunah, amunah means I have faith in the Rabbanu Shalom. I know that He's orchestrating this world. I know that I might not see it on the outside or understand the exact situation, but there's so much happening. There's so much happening behind the scenes. Katarat tzveikos. I could permit myself to have tzveikos because I know that I don't know everything, but I know that He does. And therefore, I have questions. Who am I? I'm Aryeh Cohen. I've been in this world 44 years. I know nothing. I'm supposed to understand everything that goes on in the past 5,784 years of this world. Everything is cheshbund, is calculated with so much of a greater calculation. What do I know? I know nothing. I should be gaivadik enough to think I have to have all the answers? It comes to MS. I'll say it straight. We'll talk real. If you want to talk real, to have to have all the answers is a place of gaiva. It means I have to know everything. The issue of Moshe, Anav Meod Mekodim. Moshe also had questions. Moshe also discussed with God, Tzadik Viralo. He didn't have that answer. Anivus, which comes from Emuna, means I'm allowed to have questions. Ain Simcha, there's no greater Simcha than permitting yourself to be Basafik. Because I've got God by my side. He has the answers. It's all good. He has the answers. Said I was with the family of Almog. So Rusi. And I said before, we started the Sefer Torah, my friend Rabbi Shmuel Herman, big tzaddik, he had this idea, and Lil Nishmas, and another soldier, I don't have time to tell the whole story, but where this whole Torah is going to be written at the Nova Festival, right? And so I was there on Thursday, and Almog's father sat down with his Almog's mother and family to write it ice in this Torah. To write an ice in this Torah, in this chus, Bezat Hashem, that he should be freed, Bekarov, along with all the other hostages. Bezat Hashem. And Almog was sitting there next to Rabbi Shmuel Herman. And Rabbi Shmuel Herman turned to Almog. Almog's father, Yigal. Yigal, Almog's father, was sitting there. And he says to Yigal, Yigal, I want you to know, your son is not just the son, your son, he's the son of all of Klal Yisrael. We're all davening for him every day. Yigal looked at Rav Shmuel Herman. I'll never forget this, I'm still shaking. And he said to him, no, you're wrong. My son's the son of the Borei Olam. And the Borei Olam's taking care of him. And the Borei Olam is going to bring him back together with all the other hostages. And if you heard the amen that his family screamed out when they heard that, still shaking Shemayim. But you hear that Amunah? And then Almog got up, and the minhag to give the sofer some money that just wrote the ice, he took out 200 shkalim. I have this as well on video. And he's about to put it in. He starts to say a tefillah. He says, I'm giving this to Daka, B'schut. My son should come back along with all the hostages. He never bothered. Every time he spoke about it, and he spoke to him later a few times privately, he wouldn't talk about his son coming out without all the hostages coming out. He doesn't want his son out with all the other hostages, still hostages. With all of them. And right before he puts the money in, he says, and not only that, he said that everyone in Bnei Yisrael should know that the Borei Olam is Emet. And that's when he put it in. You hear this? His son is in Gaza for the past 107 days, being tortured in ways we can't understand. And all he's talking about is the Borei Olam. And the Borei Olam's Emet, and that's what he wants for the world. You hear this Amunah? He doesn't see, he doesn't understand why. That's Tu B'Shvat. That's Ein Simcha Katar Sveikos. But there's another chizik that we get from this lesson of Tu B'Shvat, I believe. V'adam et asada, each and every one of us is this tree of belief, this tree of amunah, that all of us can have, and all else do have within us. Someone asked me the other day, you see so many Baruch Hashem coming and be ma'minim like never before. What's going to be? Is this going to stay? I said, of course it's going to stay. This isn't like something that's being created. This is all found from within. People had layers of darkness over clogging the neshama that's in with each and every one of us. It's chelik al-kami mamamish that's in each and every one of us. So we're finally just uncovering it. Sadly, it took a very difficult time of tzaros to do that. But this is real. This is the panemius of every single Jew. But there's another lesson of Tu B'Shvat for each and every one of us that I believe. Everybody grapples these parashios with the concept of the hardening of the Paro's heart. Vayachazek eslev Paro, vechabed eslev Paro. And everyone knows the famous question of how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu harden the heart of Paro and then still punish him? He's taking away bechira chashit. He's taking away free will, free choice. And if there's no free will, free choice, what is there in this world? How could there be reward and punishment? Why would Paro get punished with more makos if he has no choice? It's not his fault. Everybody asks this question. You all know this. And there's a famous Ramban. Famous Rambam. Comes along in the Nesiva Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe. If you want to see this inside, it's Kedai to learn. It's the first piece in Parsha's Bo, last week's Parsha. Nesiva Shalom, and he says as follows. Slonim Rebbe explains that each and every one of us have abilities, have kochot. We all have abilities. And then we have abilities that are deep, deep down, dormant within us. That some people, their whole life stays there. They don't tap into it. And it's upon each and every one of us, through our amelus, through toil, through hard work, through digging down deeply, to find those and pull those out. You know what it means? Nesiva Shalom explains that Hashem hardened the heart of Paro. It means He hardened His heart that His normal ability to let us go, that was on the surface, that all of us have naturally out there on the surface, that He wasn't going to let us go. But Paro still had the ability to dig down deeper, find it from within His depth, to still let us go. And He didn't choose to do that. He didn't choose to put in the hard work. He didn't choose to pull out what He had within us, and therefore He's still responsible. That's what the Nesiva Shalom says. So Tu B'Shvat teaches us this for each and every one of us as well. Often we see on the outside our kochos, and we think we're able to daven to this level in this amount of minutes. We're able to help people in this way. My emunah reaches this limit. Tu B'Shvat teaches us, just like we look at a tree and it looks so bare, it looks like nothing's there, but there's really so much more within, there's so much more depth. So too, v'adam et ha'sadeh, so too each and every one of us. We have so much more depth that we can pull out, that we could dig down deeper and find the deepest emunah, the deepest ability to daven every single day, not become desensitized by time. The deepest ability to learn more Torah. Torah learning, even for women, was not just for seminary. To connect in the deepest of ways. Yes, we have a lot of responsibilities in our home, and those are very important. But we have, and we have to dig down deeper. To find the kochos from within. We have them in incredible ways. And I've been seeing it this week in incredible ways in people. The most inspiring of people. I was yesterday in Tel HaShomer in the rehabilitation center. Now, I was there as well about 7 weeks ago. Thursday of Thanksgiving. And I met many holy Jews there, many holy chayalim who've given their legs and their arms and their eyes and for us. Gedolim. I tell each and every one of them, I say, one of the highlights of my trip to Eretz Yisrael always is going to Tzadikim, is going to Gedolim, to get brachos, to get etzah. So these trips, you're the Gedolim that I'm coming to. You're the Gedolim. I mean it with my whole heart. There was one yid that I met, end of November, Amit. Amit's a commander who was living down south. And terrorists infiltrated his village and infiltrated, and he sent his entire family into the safe room. He took his gun, and 10 terrorists came upon his house. And he was able single-handedly to fight them off. He killed six of them, and the other four ran away, seeing. But as they were running away, they threw a grenade and exploded in his face. And he lost his eyesight, and his entire body was burnt. I mean, whatever the highest degree burns you could have, I mean, the entire body. When I saw him at the end of November, again, he was blind at that point. He had a massive bandage on his head. He was wheelchair bound. I didn't see him. You know, some of the soldiers, you hear the stories of ones that are smiling, and there are many like that, and he wasn't. He wasn't. He saved his whole family. But he wasn't. He was with his brother. And myself, with my family, we spent a lot of time just trying to talk to him and trying to give chizik. It's so important. You'll hear this in a minute. Go to the hospitals. Just go and meet with the soldiers. Give chizik. Just spend time. Just show your care. It's so important. Listen to how important it is. So I was with my wife as well, and my son, and my daughter-in-law, and my daughter, and we spent time with him. I'm back yesterday in Tel HaShomer. I was meeting with different soldiers and just trying to talk and walking away with way more chizik than whatever I can give. And suddenly I see, like, Mamsh almost run over from the side. Like, all the soldiers, no one's coming to you. Like, going to them, to their rooms, to their beds. And with a wheelchair, like, running quickly. And the brother of Amit, he looks at me. He says, "We've been waiting, Rabbi. Harav, we've been waiting for you to come back." I'm like, "What? I want you to know, ever since your chevra was here, my brother's been chozer b'tshuva. He started putting on tefillin every day. He started putting on tzitzis every day. And Baruch Hashem, we had nisim. He has his eyesight back." And I hugged him and I kissed him, and he said, "I'm smiling. Smiling from one end of the world to the other." And I took out, you know, last time, I realized now, he didn't even know what I looked like. I took out my phone and I showed him a picture of us from 7 weeks ago. I took a picture with him. And then we took a picture again now. And you see a different punim. He's still in the bandage, still in the wheelchair, needs more refuos. But this is somebody, you think he knew he had that kochos within him? If someone would have told him before that this is what you have within you? We have this within us. This past Matzei Shabbos, I had a love of Malka for my Talmidim who are learning here now. In the beginning, one of my Talmidim came over to me. And this Talmud a year ago, I can't even explain what place he was in. I mean, Kol Taivas Tachas Hashemesh, Mamish. Mameven Yavin, that's all I could say, right? Like, in every way. I don't think he knew what Masechta we were learning. And he shows me first that he decided, and it's for him, like, he shows me first he has a kosher phone now. And this Talmud, if you would have told me a year ago, has a kosher phone, I would have. He has a kosher phone, nothing, calling, nothing. And then he shows me, he takes out a piece of paper, his yeshiva. They did this thing last week where they wanted you to analyze yourself, how you're doing, where I was this summer, where I am now, what my goals are. Shabbos, this past summer, no. January, yes. My goal is to keep every single one. Tefillin. Past summer, no. Now, yes. My goal to put on every single day of my life. Tzitzis, this past summer, no. Now, yes. My goal to always wear tzitzis. If this guy a year ago, this guy, not a year ago, this guy 4 or 5 months ago, he would have laughed in your face. He had no idea what he had within him. And you and I as well, we have so much within us. So much more. So on our level where we're holding, there's so much more there. There's so much more within us. That's as well the lesson of Tu B'Shvat. To know that we have this emunah within us that's so strong. The ability to see what we don't see. To know that Hashem is by our side every moment. We're that tree. That's what I believe Pshat is, getting back to the Mishnah. We said, V'adam et hasadah. You know why it's B'lashon Yachid? B'echa B'Shvat Rashana Le'ilan. It wants to be Meramez, it wants to hint all. We're talking about one tree. Each and every one of us. You. Le'ilan, for you. V'adam et hasadah. Use it as chizik for you. You know why it's Kedivri B'Shamai? Because really, B'Shil and B'Shamai are one here. Usually we have Machlokas and they're different. So we paskin like Hillel, but we're also kid divrei b'shabbes. We're also like b'shamai. They're all discussing the depth within each and every one of us. Beis Hillel was a little less keen, and he wasn't able to see it until the 15th. Beis Shammai was on a higher madrigan, able to see it even deeper, even earlier. Okay, most of us are not ready for that. Most of our roiv is like Hillel. So we paskin to b'shvat. But they're all one and the same. It's the same message. It's the same yesod. V'adam et asada. And each and every one of us, each and every one of us has within us this emunah, has within this so many markochos. We've seen it. We've seen it in all of us during these times. We've seen what we've found within us. Let's continue to find more and more. And specifically the emunah, to know, I don't need to know everything. I don't need to know everything. I have doubts, I have questions. Ein simcha katara sveikos. We have to allow ourselves to have the suffix. And the emes is, I want to share with you. I was waiting for now. This came to me the other day. I didn't share this yet with Jen, but you know, everybody here knows. Everybody here knows of the famous, incredible list of Binyamin. This is where you said it the first time to the world. That list is so kadosh. That list of ani rotzeh. The list of ani rotzeh, the list of Binyamin Meir, of his desires, of his she'ifas, his yearnings in life at the age of 16, well beyond his years. Most of us wouldn't have a list like that way, way, way later in life. And you could ask Jen I think it was about 55, and I think he accomplished already about 50, something like right around there. He lived a full life. Yes, a shorter life than anyone wanted, but definitely a full life, much fuller life than most people live. But I want to share with you what I believe that list was, because the title was Ani Rotzeh. And I think that that Binyamin, in every way, we know, if you hear any story about him, you knew he had that deepest of emunah. That was clear. We knew. The way, I had stories that I can't even share about Binyamin, I don't know, but about his just doing whatever it is for the Rabbonu Shalom and for Emes. That's why he was doing what he was doing. That's why he was the one who was going to go into that building and first. And it's Emes. I have full emunah, and I'm living with that emunah, and I don't have to see everything. I don't have to understand everything. He did want, and one of the things on the list was to understand a little Romo Shel Olam. That's a want. We all want to, but he could also accept that we can't always. But let me tell you the depth that I believe. Ani rotzeh. See, in Parshas Chayesara, in the discussion that Avram is having in order to purchase the Maariz Machpelah, Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Ches, Vayadabri Yitam Leimar, he speaks to them, saying to the people, to Bnei Ches, Im Yeshes Nafshechem, Likvoris Mesi. How are those words? He says, Im Yeshes Nafshechem. Nefesh is what? What's your nefesh? Your nefesh is your soul. Your nefesh is your pnimius. Your nefesh is your essence. Im Yeshes Nafshechem. But what does the word really mean? If you opened up an art scroll, I don't have one here, but I'm sure it would translate. Im Yeshes Nafshechem. If you'd like, if you desire, Likvoris Mesi, to help me bury my dead, to help me bury Sarah. If you look in Rashi on the word Nafshechem, what's Nafshechem? Ritzonchem, your ratzon. In other words, Rashi's telling us, you know what your nefesh is, which is your pnimis, your deepest depth, is your ratzon, your desires. That's your deepest depth, who you want to be. It's not where you are yet, because where you are already, you're already there. It's wanting to, it's pulling out your deepest depth. To understand we have so much more within us. Im Yeshes Nafshechem is Ritzonchem. Binyamin, who was able in such a, in years, in only 21 years, to live this life of Tu B'Shvat and pull out his deepest depth, his nefesh. So of course he had a list, Ani Rotzeh. Because your nafshechem, your nefesh, is your ratzon. Your nefesh is your ratzon. It's all one and the same. And each and every one of us needs to learn that. From the Kaddish Dikiyir, from Binyamin Meir, Ben Zev David, from Jen, from Rab. Mir Hashem will be Zorcha. As we prepare just in a few days for Tu B'Shvat, don't just go through the day and eat some nice fruits and have some dried fruits or whatever you do. But use it as a day of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah le'ilan, for myself. To revitalize my emunah. My emunah to know even when I don't see there's depth and I believe it with my whole heart. And I'm going to live a life of ein simcha. I can have simcha even with questions. Even with difficulty. Even with tzaras. Even with very difficult tzaras. Because ein simcha katar sveikos. I have questions, but I'm allowing myself because I have emunah. And pull out our deepest depth. Live that. Because that true will bring out the simcha. Of the biggest keys to simcha is being our best selves. Nobody's happy when they're not living up to what they have within themselves. Pull out their depth, just like Binyamin did, Ani Rotzeh. Write your own list so you could bring it out. Write your own list so you could get into your nefesh. And through that, Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe if this is what He wants from us more than anything, to develop this emunah and to live our best selves and get in touch with our nefesh, then we'll be zoichen. See, there's no more need for this tzaras, no more need for this galus. This chos, these parshios take us from galus to geula. Lubavitcher Rebbe Zeicher Tzadikas Baruch Hu said we have to live with the parshios. Mir Hashem, they're going to also take each and every one of us and all of Klal Yisrael with all the Heilige Kedoshim. We'll be dancing with Binyamin Meir and all the Chayalim and all the hostages and everyone with Mishiach Lekeinu with Geula Shleima. B'mheira B'yameinu.